Continue the thought here this morning as last week, I think it was actually 2 weeks ago, we continued or started preaching a message on killing the serpent with the sword. We see here, as we said before, one of the saddest accounts I can find in the Bible. Everything was perfect, everything was going well, and all of a sudden the serpent came up on the scene. And we now are in the position where we are now. We see Eve has sinned in the garden. And by mistake, her husband fell right into the tracks that she was in. Last time we was here, we preached on standing on the Bible. Now we saw not only did the Adam and Eve, they knew the Bible. No, with no doubt did they know the Bible. The Bible says here in chapter 2 that the Bible says, "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree of the garden." And he says, but in verse 3, "But of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you shall die." No doubt did Adam and Eve know the Bible. No doubt did they probably read it and study it. But as we looked last time in this passage of Scripture, there was not standing on the Bible. That's where we fall short today. Now, we know the Bible. We know what Scripture says. But are we standing on the true Word of God? Are we going to follow the Lord no matter what comes our way, no matter how bad the enemy may attack us? And that's there where they fall short in the garden. They knew the Word of God, but they wasn't standing on it. And as we preached last time, I encourage us not just to know the Bible, but to live by it, to encourage people by it, and to live your life, and men, to lead your family on the King James Bible. We see last time when we was preaching this, we saw three things that the devil will do for you. You may want to write these down, as I was encouraged when the Lord gave me these points. Simple, but they helped me. Three things the devil will do for you. We looked at last time, Satan will draw you to sin. That's exactly what he did here to Adam and Eve in the garden. Not only that, but we can find in Scripture that Satan will deceive you unto sin. He'll make you believe a lie and make you fall short of the glory of God. We see not only that, but Satan will destroy you by sin. We can read through all this Bible, all the accounts of this Bible, when the enemy come up on the scene, he was there to destroy somebody. And we see that that's what he's done here in our text. Everything was perfect. Everything was going good. But yet the devil came up, that old serpent came up and destroyed God's plan for these people. And church, he will destroy the plans that he has, that God has for this church. He will destroy every plan that God has for your life if you let him. But we see here those three things that the devil will do. He will draw you to sin, he'll deceive you into sin, and he'll destroy you by sin. But fourthly, we'll continue that thought, that I'm glad that the devil will do those things for us. You say, "Preacher, why is that? You're crazy this morning." I'm glad we read this account in the Bible about Adam and Eve falling short of the glory of God. And I'm glad through all the Bible that chapter 3, verse 15 of Genesis is in the Bible, the picture of the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We see here, fourthly, this morning, thirdly, the Satan will destroy you by sin. But this morning, the Savior will deliver you from the sin that you're in. We can read in our Bible and we see how will the Lord deliver us from the sin of the enemy. How did he deliver Adam and Eve here? Well, did they not have to have shedding of blood there in the Bible? In Genesis, was there not bloodshed for them people to go and continue living and not die in the sin that they was in? Friend, this morning you may be hell bound with a hammer down this morning in sin, but let me tell you about a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the reason for the season that we'll celebrate. He is the reason that the Bible says that there is a free gift, and it can't be bought at Walmart. It can't be found at Toys R Us. But the greatest gift that you'll ever receive is in this Bible, in the Scriptures, in the Word of God. The Bible says that faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Friend, the greatest gift that you can receive this holiday season will not be found under some some Christmas tree, as we said Wednesday night, but the greatest gift that you'll ever receive, the greatest gift that you can ever give a young child is found under Calvary's tree over 2,000 years ago when our Savior hung between heaven and earth and died for my sin and your sin. And he'll deliver us from the sin. Why? Because there was shedding of blood. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and it says, and almost all things are by the blood, law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Friend, this morning, if Jesus Christ would have never came and died on Calvary's cross, there would be no forgiveness of our sins. If Jesus Christ would have never came and died on Calvary's cross, it would have ended there at the flood. We all would have been destroyed. We all would have went to a devil's hell. But Jesus Christ saw fit to come humbly upon this earth. The Bible said he humbled himself even unto the death of the cross. And because that, church, he died for me and he died for you. And by the shedding of blood, we have forgiveness of sin. It's because he humbled himself and died there on Calvary's cross and shed his life's blood where we can have life and to have it more abundantly. The devil will destroy you by sin, but I'm thankful this morning, church, that there's a Savior and his name is Jesus Christ, that'll deliver you from that sin penalty. And the only way that he delivers you is by the priceless blood that he shed there on Calvary's cross. It's a gift that we cannot afford. It's a gift that no money can buy, but he willingly gave his life for me and he gave his life for you. We see not only will the Savior deliver us from our sin, but the Savior, Jesus Christ, willingly laid down his life and died for my sin and your sin. This morning, church, no one made Jesus Christ lay there on Calvary's cross. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, Jesus here speaking, he says, therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Friend, don't pity Jesus Christ there on Calvary's cross. Don't pity that he walked up that Golgotha, the hill of Calvary, and was beaten by the Roman soldiers. Friend, don't pity on that this morning. Don't pray for 10,000 angels that could have came and rescued him on that day. But friend, he was God himself. The Bible says he laid his life down. No man took his life, but friend, he laid his life down for me, and he laid his life down for you on Calvary's cross willingly, because he loved us that much. The Bible says, as we repeat often, no greater love hath any man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. Not only will the devil destroy you, deceive you to sin, draw you into sin, but I'm thankful this morning there's a Savior to rescue us from the hand of the enemy. And it's only by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now this morning, that was just to continue in the message. This morning, I want to preach on a simple thought. It all starts somewhere. It all starts somewhere. Look at verse 13 in your Bible. The Bible says here, and the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the Bible says, the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. We looked last time at the word beguiled. That means to be weighted down. Friend, the devil here, the old serpent, has done weighted this woman down more than she could bear. She done put the sin of this world, the cares of this world, on this woman so much that she was weighted down, that she could not bear the pressure anymore. And she fell into the sin of the old serpent. Church, this morning, sin always has a starting point in your life. This here in our Bible, we read in verse 13, the Bible says, the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? We go back and look at verse 1 of chapter 3 in our Bible, and it all started at this point in the scriptures. And then verse 13 in our our Bible, we can see where this woman has fallen short of the glory of God. It may have looked like something small in her midst. It may have been just an old small serpent in her midst, something that she didn't take to acknowledge this morning that the man in front of her, the serpent in front of her, was going to destroy her, was going to rip her from the inside and out and leave her there to die a sinful death and to die and go to hell without Christ. Friend, this morning, sin has a starting point. Each and every single one of us in here this morning, sin has a starting point. It may start out little. It may start out just from a woman at the store giving you words of encouragement. Maybe while your wife's at home, you've been fussing, and it's just a few words of encouragement. Friend, little things called sin will blow up to something big in the eyes of God. You can't handle to play with sin. You can't handle to play with just a little bit of sin. Church, this morning, sin has a starting point, and at the beginning it's little. From the outside it looks like something small. We're talking about a fruit, an apple, something this woman could hold in the palm of her hand, but yet we see here it's just a fruit. I'm sure she could have held it in the palm of her hand and looked at it, but it was something that little in that woman's life that would destroy her, that would destroy God's will for her life. And church, let me tell you something. Let me break it to you this morning. It's some small sin that you can't see that'll destroy God's plan for your life. It'll destroy your testimony. Your testimony, church, is the priceless thing that you have. No money can buy the testimony that God has given to you, but the devil will do everything he can to destroy your testimony. That's all you got as a Christian. Yeah, you got the Lord Jesus Christ, don't get me wrong, but the only thing that you got that the devil can distill from you is the testimony that God has given to you. And church, he'll do everything he can to destroy that testimony. You look at Samson this morning, the testimony was in his hair, as we preached not long ago. And what did the enemy do? What did the old serpent do? Destroyed and stole the man's testimony. And church, the devil is lingering and wanting to destroy the testimony that God has put inside of you. And he'll do it by the little things of this world. You ain't got to be a dope dealer. You ain't got to drink all the liquor in the ABC store to get deceived by the devil. You can be the greatest man to ever walk. You can be the greatest preacher, the greatest Sunday school teacher, the greatest deacon, the faithfulest church member, and the devil will put a little thing in front of your eyes that will destroy you and destroy your home. And friend, if he destroys the home this morning, he's got the church. You let him start picking out families in this church. You let him start attacking a family over here, and next thing you know, they're not in church. You let him pick a family in the center row and destroy them, and no longer they're in the church. You let them go over here to this side pew, lingering up and down the aisles of the church, and not long do you see somebody else missing. And eventually God will or the devil will rob the blessings of God in this church. And it all starts in the home. Amen. That's exactly where it started, here in Genesis chapter 3. Adam, the first man to ever been created, the first man to ever been alive by the hand of God. The Bible says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Friend, Adam had an opportunity with God that me and you will never have. Adam had an opportunity with God that nobody else in this Bible has ever had. It was just him and God in the garden. But one thing I believe that Adam didn't have about himself was a backbone. Adam did not stand up for what was right. Adam didn't stand for what the truth was. But Adam let the old serpent come in his house, come in his home, and destroy the little things in his life. That wife that he held precious by his side. The Bible says that out of man's rib did he made woman, that where she could be by his side each and every step of the way. Not for the man to walk all over the woman, but for that woman to be right there by his side, to be his helpmeet, to help him in troubled times, to help him when the enemy came along. But friend, Adam fell short of the glory of God. Adam fell short of his calling. The Bible tells us here in Ephesians 5:23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ, the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Of women this morning, wife, by no means am I making you mad, just preaching the Bible. The Bible says the husband is the head of the home. They're not to stomp over you with their boots on, but they're to lead and to guide and direct you in the way that this Bible's telling you to live. And church, let me tell you something, women, I'm not telling you to submit yourself to an ungodly man, to an ungodly, unbiblical man, but I am telling you to submit yourself to a man that's on fire, to a man that stands by the King James Bible, to a man that stands on biblical truth. And friend, church members, husbands, the Bible has gave us, the Lord has gave us a title to be a husband, to lead and to guide the house. Every family this morning that's in this house, they need a leader to lead them, a leader where the children can follow behind them. And husbands, God has put us the leaders of the home. And look here in Genesis chapter 3. I want you to look and to read this Bible while I'm preaching. And I want to ask the question this morning, where was Adam when his wife was getting deceived by the old serpent? Where was Adam at when the serpent came into his home and was going to destroy the home that Adam has built by the hand of God? Where was Adam at when all this was going down? A church, it's not hard to figure out where Adam was. The Bible tells us that he was right by the side of his wife. Read Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. We see here the Bible says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. The husband was standing right beside the wife in the account of the devil. Church, let me tell you something, men. That's where we fall short of the glory of God. I would hate to know that there's a man in the building this morning that won't stand with a backbone about their self and lead their family by the biblical truths of this Bible we hold so precious in our hand. Who's in here this morning that don't love your wife enough, that don't love your kids enough to stand there and to watch the enemy attack your home, and to watch the enemy come in and devour the little kids that God has blessed you with? And church, that's exactly what Adam's doing here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. You don't think he saw the devil come, the old serpent, and tempt his wife? Oh, friend, he's a serpent from the beginning, and he's the serpent to the end of this Bible. The Bible tells us in Revelation 20, verse 2, and he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil. Oh, friend, he's a serpent from the beginning, and he's a serpent till the end. One person that you'll have to fight every day of your life until you breathe your last breath, it's the old serpent, the devil. He'll fight you in any way he can. He'll do any way thing he can to destroy you by the little things of this world. And church, I love you enough to tell you, watch out for the old serpent. Watch out for the devil in your life. Watch out for the devil in your home. We got women watching soap opera shepherds that strayed from the pits of hell, and we let that filth come into our home. We got our children watching the filth that comes on Disney Channel, that comes on Nickelodeon. It's not popular preaching, but it's preaching that'll keep the house clean. It's preaching that'll keep the devil out. We got men that won't go to work and provide for their family. The Bible says a man don't work, he's worse than an infidel. If a man don't get up and put his pants on and go to work, he's not worthy to marry a young woman. Young children, if you don't find a man that'll line up to the biblical truths of this Bible and he'll get out and work by the sweat of his brow and lead a family by the biblical truth, you have no dealings being with that man. He's worse than an infidel. In my Bible, that's what I read. And friend, we need to fall back in love with the scriptures, fall back in love with the Bible, and start leading our home by the Bible and kick the devil out right when he sticks a foothold in our home and in our churches. A church don't believe that the devil ain't walking around this place this morning. The Bible says that Judas Iscariot was a devil from the beginning. There's a devil in every church crowd this morning. There's a devil in every church this morning, and he's seeking and looking to see whom he may devour. And it's up to the men of God to be man enough about their self to kick that old devil out, to kick that old serpent out before he ever has a foothold, to get into the church before he ever has a foothold, to get into the home. I'm not telling you to lead your wife, to guide her by a rod, but what I am telling you to lead her by the sword, and that's the King James Bible. I'm not telling you to beat your children, but I am telling you to lead them by this Bible. And friend, if you don't whoop your children, you don't love them. If you don't make your children do right, you don't love them. But friend, let me tell you something. The Bible says that the Father will have chastisement upon us if we do wrong. Let me tell you something, church. We will answer for the wrong that we do. And we see here it all started somewhere by a little fruit that this serpent had coming up to the woman. It all starts with something little in your life. We see here the first account. It all starts somewhere. First of all, we see the communication with the serpent. One mistake that this old woman had was communicating with the devil, was communicating with that old serpent. There's only been one man that could communicate with this serpent and have victory over him, and it was God Almighty. It was Jesus Christ himself. When the devil was tempted there for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness by the old devil, every single time Jesus said, "It is written." He's the only one that communicate with him. Church, you're not spiritual enough. I'm not spiritual enough to go hang around with the devils in this world, to walk and talk with the devils in this world, to live my life by the devil's rules. I'm not strong enough to do that spiritually. As your pastor this morning, I'll fall miserably before the eyes of the Almighty God if I start walking the way the devil walks. But church, let me tell you, by the grace of God, we are able to flee the devil. We are able to flee from every part of evil in our life. One thing that this woman let the devil have a foothold in their home is because she gave place to the devil. She gave him an opportunity to come in and to get a foothold in the home. And church, let me tell you something. The best thing, the precious thing that you have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. But the precious thing that you have is when you go home and be with your family, when you're sitting around a table with your family, that's the most precious thing that you have other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And men, you better guard it with everything that's within you. If you're a single mom this morning, you better guard it with everything that's within you, because the enemy will come in. Just one little foothold, one little thing can destroy a home tremendously this morning. We see that first and foremost in our Bible. The woman was communicating with the old serpent. We can find that in verses 2 and 3 in our Bible. She was sitting there talking with him, contradicting the word of God to this devil. Friend, let me tell you something. The devil knows the word of God by all means, and he'll twist that thing up, and he'll make you believe a lie before you believe a truth this morning. The Bible says the devils believe and they tremble. They know this word of God. And let me tell you something, church, that's why you better know it from inside and out. You better know the scriptures that you hold dearly in your hand, because the devil will strip up the word of God, and he'll change them, and he'll deceive you by the word of God if you're not careful in knowing the word of God. We see here the communication with the serpent. The Bible says here in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Did not this woman here give place to the devil? And think about it, men. While this was happening, Adam was right there by her side. That's what my Bible tells me. Genesis 3:6. The Bible says, "And unto her husband, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." The husband was right here beside this woman that God gave him. And he watched the devil come in and destroy their home that God has blessed him with. Church, I know I've preached a lot on this subject, but we live in a day and hour where there needs to be preaching about the devil, where there needs to be preaching about the hell, where there needs to be preaching about sin. We've got kids all over the congregation this morning that can go just an hour down the road, 10 minutes down the road, and hear preaching that'll make them happy. Hear preaching that'll pad your pocket, that tell you Christianity is make you rich. But friend, let me tell you something. It's out of a preacher's heart that he preaches against hell, that he preaches against sin, and he preaches about separation from this whole world. I can preach messages that'll make you feel good. I can preach messages that'll bring people in this church, but it'll be away from the word of God. People don't want to hear the word of God. The Bible says they have itching ears. They're wanting to hear what they want to hear in these last days. But friend, let me tell you something. By the grace of God, we'll always stand on the truth. We'll always stand on the King James Bible. We'll always stand against sin. We'll always have a doctrine against sin. Our doctrine will always believe separation from this old world. And friend, that's where this woman had made a mistake in her life. She did not separate herself from this world. She was letting the world come into her home. The Bible says here they gave her fruit. They gave her something from this whole world that the Lord told them they cannot have. And when they let the world in their home, it destroys the home. You may think I'm weird this morning for not letting my son watch some of the stuff. He's just a little child. You may think it's weird the way I raise my family, but friend, I do it because God's laid it on my heart. I ain't no better than you this morning, but by the grace of God, we'll lead our children up by the glory of God. By the grace of God here at the church, we'll do everything we can to stay a scripture. By the grace of God, we'll preach to every children in this church hellfire and brimstone, and teach them that it's all right to be a virgin when they get married, that it's all right to live right, that it's all right to live holy, that it's all right to live separated from this whole world, that the King James Bible is the only Bible. If it's not that, it ain't no Bible. That if they need to sing not the contemporary stuff, but to sing the old hymns and to stand on the truth of the Bible, they won't be popular when they walk up and down the schools. But by the grace of God, one day we make it have a school here. By the glory of God, if God blesses, I put no limits on him. I put no limits on his bank account. A church is because of us that we don't have the faith that we should. It's because of us that the house of God ain't what it's supposed to be. It's because of us the Bible ain't being preached like it's supposed to be. And friend, that's the problem with church people, is they put limits on the God of heaven. Church, this morning, we ain't have the popular church. We ain't busting out walls building, but what we are doing is standing on the truth, standing on the King James Bible. It ain't what popular, but it's one thing that'll get us to heaven. It's one thing that'll keep our children separated from this old world, where they don't go out and get messed up in drugs, messed up in dope, laying around in each other's beds all over the country, all over the community, that when they get married, that they are pure, that when they get married, they can stand before a God of heaven and find righteousness in them. It ain't popular preaching, but it's right preaching. It's preaching that pleases God to be separate from this old world. And that's here in our Bible what Eve did not want to do. God gave her everything that she could ever want. But we find her here searching for something else. Searching for something else in her life. I got to hurry. Not only did the serpent bring... not only did we see that he brought communication with the man of the people of God, but not only there, we see Paul says in Romans 12, verse 9, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. That's easy preaching, but hard living this morning, to flee from the sin of this world. We're attracted to the things of this world. We're attracted to the sin of this world. But Paul says, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. We see here, and not only do we see the communication with the serpent, but we see the confusion the serpent brought. The devil will always bring confusion to God's people. He will always bring confusion to your marriage. He will always bring confusion between you and your spouse. He will always bring confusion between you and the preacher. He'll always bring confusion between you and God's holy word. The Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion, but the devil, he writes confusion. He speaks confusion. Did he not confuse this woman here? And he said that you shall not surely die. Is that in verse 4? Or 5, he says, you shall not surely die. In verse 4, he brought confusion to this woman. God plainly told her, if you eat of this tree, you will die. The devil's confusing our people so much in this day and hour which we live in. So much. You flip on the TV and see some of these fires that's going on that's been lit by men. Out of boredom, because they're bored. Is that not confusion that the devil's brought in the people's mind, in the satanity of their mind, that out of boredom they would start a fire that would destroy all of Gatlinburg? Let me tell you what that man needs to do. He needs to get him a job. He needs to get kids. He has to feed a wife. He has to support. And he'll have not time to be bored if he's busy supporting his family. Let me tell you what they ought to do to that man. Lock him up and show him what bored is. Lock him up and show him how it feels to be bored. Church, we've got people that's being confused every single day of our life. We got women that'll take their children, put them in a car seat and go in Walmart. And when they come back, their child's dead because of the confusion that the devil's put into them. We got people wanting to quit on God, saying, I don't want to preach no more. I don't want to teach no more. Friend, that ain't nothing but the devil confusing you and getting you off the path of the God Almighty. We got people, women, that'll put their car or their kids in a car and drive them off in the ocean, drive them off in the lake. Why? Because they're confused. We got sodomites walking up and down the streets, marrying each other, trying to raise the children of this world. Why? Because they're confused, because the devil is confusing them in the last days that we are living in. Church, don't let the devil confuse you. The devil will confuse you about anything that he can. And that's exactly what he's done here to this woman. We see here the Bible tells us in John 4, or John 8, 44, the Bible says, you are of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He is a murderer from the beginning. Did not Cain kill his brother? It was because the devil. It was because the devil put it in his heart to kill his own brother. There, he's the murderer from the beginning. It's not talking about here in Genesis chapter 3, but it's talking about when Cain kills his own brother. He is a murderer from the beginning. And friend, he's a murderer to our children. He's a murderer to our homes. He's a murderer to our church. All he wants to do is destroy us and to lead us astray. And we see here that it's says he was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He is a liar and the father of all lies. Oh, friend, we wonder why we think we're not lost, or we think we're lost when we're saved. It's because the devil's a liar, and he'll put that lie in our mind, and he'll make us think we're lost. He'll make us think that we're not fit to preach the gospel. He'll think that we're not fit to do the things of God. But church, he's a liar, and the father's of it. That's exactly what he did here, this family. The first family that God ever put on this earth, the old enemy came. I don't want to see God destroy the families of this church. I don't want to see, not God, but I don't want to see the devil destroy God's family here at Broad River Baptist Church. But church, what God has brought to my attention here, while this was going on, the man, Adam, was sitting back watching his wife get attacked, watching his wife, the devil, come up and load her wagon more than she can bear. Man, God's put it on our heart and upon us to lead and to guide the family the way it should go. If the devil comes in your home and destroys your home, it'll be because you let him. It'll be because you watched him destroy your home. Can the devil come in and you not see him? Absolutely. Can he come in the back door and you never see him? Yes, he can. But you can kick him out as fast as you realize he can. By the grace of God, by God Almighty. Not only did we see the communication of sin, the confusion the serpent brought, but here we see, lastly, we're done, the choice of sin. This woman chose to sin. She chose to take that fruit. And what did Adam do? He said, "The woman which thou gave me, she did eat." He blamed it on the woman. The Bible tells us here, in verse 6, it says, "She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and also gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." That right there is what got me fired up to preach this message. The man stood there, saw the serpent beguiled his wife. Is that not what the woman said? "The serpent beguiled me." And Adam took that own fruit that God told him not to, and he took it and destroyed their home by the sin that they chose to do. They didn't have to do it. Don't tell me you have to go have a drink of beer after work. Don't tell me you have to have a cigarette to stay your mind in focus. Don't tell me you got to smoke dope. Don't tell me you got to take pills. Friend, it's the choice that you make reflects on the children. The choices that we make as God's people to the sin, our sin choice, goes down to generation to generation to generation. Think about the family they could have had. Think about the godly family that they could have had. Adam could have been the greatest preacher in the world. Eve could have been the greatest preacher's wife. Those two boys could have sung for the glory of God. But look here at Adam. The Bible says, "And gave also unto her husband with her." He did. One choice of sin, one small choice of sin, can ruin a God's plan that he has for your life. Did not it happen here? This is where this Bible is. God didn't take no emergency exit when this happened. It's the way it was supposed to. God did not make these people sin in the garden. It was their choice to sin. As we're standing all over the building,